Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Health Matters. I am going to be your host tonight. I'm Dr. Patrick Lavo. Tonight, I feel like we've got a really good one for you tonight. I'm excited about our guests. I'm excited about our topic. So we are entering into the holiday season, and there are a lot of Grinches out there. I have already tried to play Christmas music at the hospital a couple times, and I've already been shot down. I've already been shot down for Christmas music. And before we get callers in saying they're angry, I know that's fine. But we are entering the holiday season, and with the holiday season comes lots of sweet treats, comes lots of fun times with family, but comes a lot of eating and nutrition questions, and I think that it leads to a lot of these interesting discussions that we can have. So tonight we are going to be talking about health as far as diet and exercise and nutrition is concerned. And for that purpose, we have two excellent guests on with us tonight. We've got Miss Libby Burkholder, who is a personal trainer and a group exercise specialist and owner of LipFit. And then we've also got Miss Julie Hartley, who is a dietitian at the Willis-Knighton Health System. So welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excited to be here.
Well, anyone who's out there listening right now, 1-800-552-8502 is the number to call. Again, 1-800-552-8502. And we would love to take your questions. We would love to discuss recipes with you. If you have a great recipe, you call in and you tell me, because I'm looking for some new recipes. Now, before we get too far in, I just want to brief... kind of tell me what you do. So I think that people have an understanding of these things, but just kind of tell me, so what exactly do you do as a dietitian? What is your job as a dietitian?
Well, mainly, since I do work for Willis-Knighton Health System, people would assume that I'm in the hospital, but actually the majority of my job is prevention and wellness, and so I try to keep people out of the hospital.
Okay.
And we actually have a fantastic program called the Ornish Lifestyle Medicine Program, where we use lifestyle as therapy to treat and reverse chronic disease. So it incorporates not just nutrition, but it also incorporates some meditation, it incorporates exercise, it incorporates group support. So it's really been fantastic to see the difference that all these different areas can make as far as chronic disease, without necessarily just adding more medication to someone.
That's awesome. So, like a holistic approach,
exactly.
Almost a whole person approach,
absolutely,
to taking care of and preventing disease. And it's incredibly appropriate for our topic tonight. Who would have thought?
Right.
An appropriate guest for a topic. How nice. All right, Miss Libby, tell me about exactly what you do.
Sure. Well, I'm a personal trainer. I work with clients one-on-one or in small group settings. I also teach group exercise.
Okay.
And then I have an online coaching business where I coach people with fitness and nutrition.
Wow.
And on the preventive side of medicine. So I love doing this, and it's been a great way to inspire and help people and change their lives to live a healthy lifestyle. And catch them early so they can start on the right path to live better and feel good.
I mean, that's awesome. So we've kind of got falling into the same category, maybe a little different tax at how you approach it, but this holistic health conscious preventative lifestyle, which, we've hosted a lot of shows where we talk about this, and prevention is often, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right?
Yeah,
so
thanks.
Prevention is often the best medicine. So I think that's really great. So we'll get we will learn tonight as a family, the Red River Radio family, how to better take care of ourselves going into the holiday season. So I actually have a caller already. Now, this is intense because we haven't even really begun discussing anything yet. So Robin from Shreveport is on the line. Robin, what can we do for you tonight?
Okay, so I'm kind of laughing about that. But I'm a lifelong dieter, and I'm not really overweight, I would say. I mean, I'm like 5'2", and I kind of teeter around 130 pounds. But I really would like to lose like five pounds. And I just really can basically eat 1,500 calories a day and maintain my weight. And it just seems like, gosh, to only eat maybe 1,200 calories is hardly anything. Is that maybe just my metabolism?
I think that is a question that a lot of people have, and I think, what's your take on that? So the idea that I'm eating this recommended amount of calories for maybe my ideal weight, I've put my age and, gender into a calculator online, and it's given me this number of calories I should consume on a daily basis, and I seem like I'm doing that, yet I'm not going anywhere. What's going on?
Robin, that's such a pertinent question, especially to start off the show, because I think it's probably one of the biggest ones that that we tend, probably both Libby and I both get, you know, most of the time. And I would love to say there is exactly one answer. And, you know, one of the fun things that I like to say about what we do is that there really is not a silver bullet. It really is more like silver buckshot, because it's more multifactorial about weight loss, you know, just because, you know, you said 1,500 calories or 1,200 calories. There might be other things that are causing, you know, weight, hormones. You know, I know, you know, with particular age, especially with women, thyroid can be issues. So there's definitely different things that we look at to see what is the root cause. And we always go back to, instead of just treating symptoms like weight gain, let's see why we're gaining weight. Instead of treating symptoms of high blood pressure or high cholesterol, why do we have high blood pressure? Why do we have high cholesterol? Is it a stress issue? How are you sleeping? How are you moving or not? You know, so it's not just a calorie, calories in or calories out, although we, you know, we do pay attention to that. But typically, I don't have patients or clients count calories initially in the beginning. We go over other checklists, you know, like those that, you know, that we just talked about, you know, some of the basic issues of how your lifestyle is right now. You know, if you're in a really stressful situation and you're eating 1,200 calories, it might exacerbate the thing, the issue. So, you know, changing your routines up, or getting into routine even, you know, can make such a difference. So there's several different things that we look at, but sleep is one of the things that is very commonly missed. People don't really associate that with weight gain. It's a really big issue. And then also stress is one of those things, especially around the holidays. Mm. We don't really realize how much stress plays in the weight gain piece. So don't get so overly obsessed with just the amount of calories. Quality of food is vitally important. I'd rather you not have a 100 calorie pack of you know, Cheetos, for instance, and rather you have, you know, 120 calories in an avocado or a salad, or, you know, so really paying more attention to the quality of your foods and not getting so caught up in just counting calories or just counting what we call macronutrients, so to speak. And then look at some other things too. So Libby probably has some other recommendations for that as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think Julie's spot on with the multidimensional approach, and that when I work with clients, we look at everything, you know, how much water they're drinking, how much sleep they're getting, their age, hormones are a big factor, like she said. When it comes to exercise, what are you doing for exercise? How can we change that to ramp up your metabolism a little bit? Maybe you need to, you've been doing the same exercise routine forever, or maybe you're not exercising. How can we change those things to calculate that into the whole holistic approach to help you achieve the goals that you set for yourself? Your quality of nutrition, I can't say that's probably more important than anything, because your abs are really made in the kitchen. A lot of us, you know, think we can just follow this calorie plan, and like she said, it's not just the calories in versus calories out. It's the quality of your nutrition. Are you getting a balanced nutrition every day with the right amount of fruits and vegetables? Are you leaving off a whole food group? Are you doing fad dieting? Yo-yo dieting can lead to weight gain, and then your body's not as efficient in operating like it should. So finding a lifestyle plan that's going to serve you well for the long haul is the best one. And using a little bit of all of these ideas that we've given you, I think would be very helpful.
And Robin, we really appreciate you calling in. And if you've got any questions for us tonight we will be talking about dieting and nutrition, specifically thinking about the holidays. But if you've got a question that doesn't necessarily refer to your Christmas holiday, then you can call in anyways and ask us, 1-800-552-8502. Now, I would like to point out that you said it is not a silver bullet, it is silver buckshot. And if that is not the most southern phrase I have ever heard.
It's appropriate seasonally, isn't it?
Oh my goodness. Like, you said it and I was like, that's got to be on a poster at like Hobby Lobby. Like, so that's marketable. I don't know if anyone from Hobby Lobby is listening out there. Now, you've pointed out a couple things that I thought, there are actually things that I had pegged to talk about, and you've kind of brought them up anyway. So let's talk about that a little bit. You've said, on the back of every package, if you look at it, it tells you this is the percent daily value based on a 2,000 calorie diet. So we all, I think, I have I mean, a medical professional, and I'm like, yeah, you know, 2,000 calories is about right, because that's what the back of my Cheetos packet mm-hmm. said. You know, this is how much salt I can have. But, I mean, realistically, is there any truth to that? Is there any, I mean, talk about that a little bit.
Well, that's such a great question, because, you know, you practically have to be a doctor or a medical professional or have had specific education in nutrition just to read the back of the label, and it really shouldn't be that complicated. And I think food manufacturers and, you know, have made it such that people are trying to eat the right thing. If you even turn around and look at the back of your packet, I know you're trying to, you know, to eat healthy, but a lot of times if I covered up the front of the package and you just read the ingredients, you would not know if it's a Pop-Tart or if it's a corn dog, because so much of those ingredients are chemicals and, you know, things that we can't pronounce. And so I really spend a lot of time really bypassing calories, like Robin was talking about, and fats and things, until we understand what is in mm-hmm. our food products. Ultimately, you know, I try to get people to have things out of a box, a can or a wrapper, you know, with not that doesn't have an ingredient list. We say it needs to come from a plant and never been through a plant, like a processing plant.
I like that.
So, but if it does have ingredients, it needs to be very limited, you know, usually around 5 to 7 ingredients, you know, long, and it should be recognizable food. It shouldn't sound like a chemistry project. You know, it should be, mm-hmm. if it's peanut butter, it should say peanuts and maybe salt, you know, maybe two. But if you looked at your peanut butter right now, you would probably see high fructose corn syrup or hydrogenated oils.
Sure.
And, you know, peanuts were, you know, would be in there, but it would not be the most main ingredient. So I spend a lot of time really teaching people to look, you know, at what it is that they're eating, because they'll, you know, I get text all the time from patients, and they'll be in the grocery store shooting me pictures of, oh, well, I found the latest, you know, beet chips or sweet potato chips, or, you know, it's still processed food. And so even though it might be a little healthier because maybe it had chips, it's still probably full of, you know, processed oils and, you mm-hmm. know, and different things like that as well, too. So really see again, always back to, both Libby and I have mentioned it already, and I'm sure we'll mention it again, quality of your food
sure.
is of utmost importance. And we've really gotten away from eating foods in their original form. You know, like we said, sweet potato chips, people will think, oh, that's a sweet potato. It's not. It's not really food. We still need to eat a whole sweet potato.
Sure. Just raw. Grab it off the shelf.
Right,
take a
right.
bite.
Well, you can cook it, but, you know.
Oh, okay. So not in their entirely.
That's right. That's right.
It's not their entirely original form.
Right.
Just
right.
most of their original
yes,
form.
Yes,
okay,
right.
So a little heat can be applied. That's good to know. So is there any kind of guideline for, like, because this is all very nice in this esoteric kind of like, oh yes, we need to eat whole foods and healthy foods.
Right.
That's great. But I mean, like, what is there like a guideline people can do? Because at the end of the day, the back of the wrapper or the back of, or even, you know, if you look up online, how much broccoli can I eat? Mm-hmm. And the answer is probably an unlimited amount until you've passed out from broccoli. But like, is there like a goal that people should be having? Is there a way they can determine a goal for their overall, you know, just kind of a calorie goal? Not to say this is a strict thing, this is all we do. Is there even any value in having a calorie goal?
Well, again, calories can be, you know, different for every person. And that's really what we do is when we talk about lifestyle medicine or preventative medicine, is mm-hmm. very personalized medicine. So, you know, just like Robin, depending on her season in life, might be having very specific needs that are different from someone that's her same weight, her same age, but might be having, you know, other specific issues. So we really look at every person as an individual, you know, too. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I very, you know, I really try hard to steer away from counting calories mm-hmm. and back again to, let's see what quality. Now, if they are still eating quality foods, but yeah. we see they're continuing to gain weight, then we might, you know, recalculate and see. We certainly can't eat 10,000 calories and,
right.
you know, of high quality foods.
10,000 calories of beans will still
yes,
equal.
Yes, it will still put on the
they
weight.
They may have so, been very organic.
Right, even if they're, you know, they're all quality and organic.
Right.
So certainly calories, I'm not saying that we would never factor in, but it is definitely not the first place
sure.
I start.
So you're saying that the first place to start is the types of foods you're eating.
Types, the quality, and really what is going on with the person individually, because some things that are fantastic and superfoods for one person could be poison for someone else. Some, you know, some people can, you know, tolerate grains perfectly well, can maybe tolerate dairy, and it just might be poison for someone else. So we really have to get down to each person specifically. quickly and sure. see what okay. personally is going to work for their body.
So we got to get kind of a tailored system. Now, I've got a couple callers on the line, 1-800-552-8502. If you want to talk, we've got dietitians, we've got personal trainers, we've got all kinds of advice here. And I feel like these are the kind of people that you want to nail down when you get an opportunity, because how often do you get to talk to them? So anyways, we've got John from Fishville, Louisiana. You are on Health Matters.
Hey, this would, we could take up an hour with some of my questions, but your study is just so important to our national health. Basically, you are what you eat, and how you eat is so important too. And I just hope that you guys can kind of stress getting away from those what you were just talking about, all these processed foods. And starting to, well, I lost 20 pounds and I'm 80 years old. I don't have to take any medicine at all of any kind because I started eating properly. You are what you eat. Mm-hmm. But it can't convince people of doing that. I just hope you guys can get the message out there somehow, because our nation's in trouble when it comes to nutrition.
You are incredibly right about that. John, thank you so much for your call. You are what you eat, truly.
Yeah, you really are. You know, I think he had a really great point in that over the years, we've just had more and more processed foods, more fast foods available. Everything's like microwavable. And we need to kind of take a step back and take back our kitchens and our health and focus on whole food nutrition. And it doesn't have to be complicated. And I think people have a myth about eating healthy is more expensive and it takes too long, when it really doesn't. You just need a mindset that's right, and you need a plan, and you need just a little bit of education on how to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's, I spend a lot of time educating women and families on healthy eating, how to meal plan and prep so it's affordable, so that they can actually produce a healthy meal plan ahead. And it takes the guesswork out. It's not impossible. You just have to have a desire to want to make some changes. And sometimes that's the hardest part. And that's where I work with people on their mindset to really get them in the right frame of mind to make those changes, just little steps at a time.
I think that it's hard to say it better than that. Now we have another caller on the line. We've got many callers. Obviously, diet and exercise is an interesting thing on probably most people's minds. So Lisa from Lufkin. Now, Lisa, you have to answer me a question first. Is Lufkin the home of the Chico Stick, or am I thinking of the wrong town?
I think it is. It's Atkinson Candy Company is in Lufkin.
There. And now we could have an hour conversation about the ingredients on the back of a Chico Stick. I don't know what it is. I will say it is delicious, but I don't know that
not
we
a plant-based food, I'm assuming.
No, and we probably can't
There's
advocate.
No Chico plant.
We can't probably advertise too much for it on the night where we're talking about being healthy. But Lisa, how can we help you tonight? You're on Health Matters.
They're pretty good, I got to tell you.
I know. We can't advocate that though.
I want to thank you mostly for just talking about the things that you're talking about, clean eating and plant-based and whole food eating. And I was kind of in the middle of making my call when you started talking about ingredients list. I wanted to kind of comment on that because about a year ago, I committed to myself that I was going to start really looking at labels, and if I could get away with it, just not even worrying about labels at all, because I would buy, you know, fresh produce and single ingredient food, like you buy a box of oatmeal and all that's in it is oatmeal. Mm-hmm. Or you buy chicken and all that's in it is chicken, and you buy a tomato and all that is a tomato, and different things like that. Now, I feel much better eating that way, and I also can testify to you that it is cheap. You can do that on a budget. But I wonder, I haven't totally cleaned up my diet, and I wonder how much you really help yourself. Like, if you can offer like a percentage of if you aren't going all the way with it. Like, I'll still buy a bottle of salad dressing every now and then. And I think that probably the most complicated food I eat anymore is like coffee creamer, or, you know,
that's a tough one.
I know. Yeah, things like that. But if I'm making mostly good choices, am I undoing everything with the few crappy things I put in there at the end? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, Lisa, this is an excellent question, and one I'm so glad that you brought up, because I hear this all the time. If, you know, people think if they cannot go in 100%, it's not worth doing at all. And I have a motto we like to say is progress, not perfection. And if you make little changes, you're going to get some little changes back. If you make big changes, you're going to get some big changes back. So it really depends on how much effort and change that you want to make. But what we find is that when people start to make changes, just like you did, and I would bet that just by, you know, just your endeavors of making sure you're having single ingredients and clean foods, you probably already feel better. So by doing those little changes, you know, initially up front, it gives you the energy, it gives you the momentum to start making even more changes, you know. So absolutely, you are making progress with that. It is not, you know, just because you had a little creamer in your coffee, you're not completely undoing all the good things that you did. You just keep moving forward. So we start people where we are. Libby and I've been doing this a long time. We were talking about that, yeah. You know, talking about that earlier. We've been around the block a few times. And so we wouldn't necessarily start a beginner who's just trying to learn how to do, you know, she probably wouldn't put you on the exact exercise routine that she does. And I probably wouldn't put you on all the diet and lifestyle changes that I do now, because we've been doing it a long time. We meet people where they are, and that helps, I think, it be more sustainable. There's plenty of fad diets that we can do for like 21 days or 40 days, and sometimes that's helpful to kind of, you know, get some momentum. But we find the people that are most successful are the ones that change things daily, like, you know, just exactly like what you said. I'm having more fruits and vegetables, and yeah, maybe I put a little regular salad dressing on them, but, you know, the goal is you're having more fruits and vegetables. That's change, and that's going to make significant difference. So it's those little things that we do daily that really make people more successful than just throwing everything away in their cupboards and completely starting over, because that tends not to be the most sustainable, you know, the most sustainable. Do you have anything, Libby, that you probably add to that as well?
Oh, yeah. You should commend yourself for making all those changes, because you're doing fantastic. And if it's a goal of yours and you have a few things that you feel like you're holding on to, maybe it's a diet soda or it's like your coffee creamer or something like that, finding some healthier alternatives and trying them to see if you can kind of wean yourself from something like that. Some people like using nut pods or a little splash of almond milk in their coffee, and maybe they didn't start with that, but they kind of worked up to it. There's options out there for you to try, and continue. Like Julie said, it's like a continuum. It's just one little thing at a time, and you keep adding things, and then you find out, man, I'm living an amazing lifestyle. I feel fantastic, and it's worth making those changes. Improve your quality of your life.
And I did want to just circle back around, because we didn't get to address John's comment, and I'm so glad that he made that comment too. First of all, just love that, you know, he made the changes himself, and it doesn't sound like either one of y'all really had, you know, a dietitian or a personal trainer. And that's another thing I'd like to encourage people. People can start anywhere and just make little changes, you know, but also age is not a factor either. Start, you know, people think, oh, I'm, you know, 75 and it wouldn't make any difference. Now, it makes a difference if, you know, every single thing that you put in your mouth, no matter what age you are, can absolutely show improvement. But both of you, you know, are such great role models. You both mentioned, how can we get this message out, and thanked, you know, us for talking about this. You are really the best megaphone for this, is that, you know, Libby and I are, you know, this is what we do for a living. So sometimes people don't take, they're like, oh, well, y'all just, that's what y'all do, and it's easy for you. But it's you guys, you know, like John and Lisa and Robin, the ones that are doing these things, making these changes. When people see that you're sleeping better and have more energy and feel better, they're going to be going, well, hey, what are y'all doing? You know, and when you say, oh, it's simple things, it's salad, it's, you know, I'm just changing, adding more, you know, foods in. And we really see that people are more successful when they add things in more than negatively take things out. So instead of saying, I can't have, you know, fried chicken, or I can't have this, I'm having more salad, I'm having more vegetables, I'm having more water. You know, though, when we talk about adding in versus taking out, it it makes our mind, like Libby mentioned, mindset is so, you know, so essential. It makes our mindset more positive in that it's not a diet. It's not, you know, a punishment. It is, in fact, something we're doing to enhance our health and well-being.
Right. Instead of thinking of something that's so restrictive, you have actually the choice to make a healthy lifestyle change, and you get to choose what you eat, and you're choosing you over an unhealthy choice, which is the best thing ever.
Oh, I like that. Choosing you.
You know, we've had like 3 or 4 bumper stickers tonight.
That's right. I mean, several tweetables.
Tweetables. Oh, see, and there we go. Another bumper sticker. Lisa, thank you so much for calling in with your question. We appreciate your participation. All right. So, I like to play games with my guests. This is just a thing. This is how I like to be. Tonight, we're going to be playing a game, What's Worse? Now, sometimes I do multiple choice questions, and I actually have a couple written out for you, so we may get to those. But tonight, we're going to be playing a game I'm calling What's Worse? Where I'm going to present you 2 bad options, and you have to tell me which of them is worse. And these are themed around the holidays and eating. So our first one is going to be, what's worse? A deep-fried turkey leg, sweet potato casserole.
I would say sweet potato casserole.
I would probably say, you mean what's worse?
Yeah, what's worse?
I would probably say the deep fried turkey.
Oh my gosh, now you have to defend your answer. So this is the second part of this. You must defend your answers. Why is sweet potato casserole
worse? Okay, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, they're both, I wouldn't have either one, but fried is bad, and I agree with Julie. The reason I would say sugar is such an inflammatory food, and so it's just so loaded with just butter and sugar. So that's why I would have picked that. I think they're kind of tied a little bit.
Yeah, there's not a great choice here.
Well, that's why it's called What's Worse.
We're
it's not called
right.
What's Good.
Yeah. We're both right. The only reason why
I don't know that you can both be right. I think in a situation where I'm asking for an absolute, one of you has to be wrong.
But the reason I would say sweet potato casserole is just because at least it has some, some superfood nutritions. You know, sweet potatoes are loaded with beta carotene and all kinds of things. And we can make it healthier, you know, when we use, you didn't actually specifically say, so maybe I'm finding a loophole.
Okay, fair
enough.
Sure.
Yeah, we could put in some healthier ingredients, just like, Lisa had said she was doing, just making different kinds of swaps and, what Libby had recommended. So we can make things, our favorite recipes, even healthier. Mm-hmm. So, but it's hard to change deep fried turkey legs, especially, when we fry things. Oils are bad. Many oils, especially processed, heavily processed oils are bad in and of themselves. But when you fry them and high heat them too, they literally become part of your cell. So, like John was saying, we are what we eat. We literally are. And when these fats, sugars are absolutely inflammatory and we don't want to have them, but at least we can process them out quicker than high fat oil. So they literally become part of our cells and really cause chronic issues. So neither one of them is a good choice, but maybe we could swap out some.
Neither one of them is a good choice. Oh my gosh. Okay. So you said sugar is bad. It is inflammatory. We shouldn't have it. All sugar is bad.
Well, now you're putting words in my mouth.
No, you said it. You said it.
I am
asking for clarification. You made the statement. I'm merely asking for clarification.
Natural sugar that is occurring in fruit and vegetables is not bad.
Okay.
Okay. Added sugar into our foods, that's where you get a problem.
Okay.
In highly processed foods. And even things that you think are healthy, like yogurt, if you don't know how to read the label, a lot of times they will say low fat. People think that's better, and it's loaded with sugar to make it palatable. And so you have to really know how to read the label, and you shouldn't really have a yogurt. And Julie, you can jump in here too. Like, I would say less than 8 grams of sugar, and you should have more protein grams than sugar when you're trying to choose a healthy yogurt, say a Greek yogurt. So it's better to just use plain yogurt and sweeten it with natural occurring sugar that comes in fruit, like cut up some strawberries or put blueberries in a plain yogurt.
Okay, so high fructose corn syrup, it's corn. I mean, right? It's a vegetable. This is natural. It's a natural sugar.
It's actually not natural. And in fact, I'm glad that you brought up high fructose corn syrup, because probably one of the biggest reasons that we have a new phenomenon that is fatty liver disease, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. We're seeing this in explosion. Like, I've been in practice, you know, 23 years now. Never really saw this very much, a little bit. Now we're seeing it in record amounts, really epidemic amounts. And it's because of high fructose corn syrup that is loaded all of our processed food, because it's processed through the liver. And so, again, we see this in things that we think might be healthy, mm-hmm. you know, but just because something doesn't have fat in it, you know, all of a sudden we think it's a health food, or it might say cholesterol zero, and they're right. like, well, this couldn't be bad. And and so much of that processed food is really causing some serious issues, not just for adults, but we're seeing these issues for our kids like never before.
Okay. All right. So no high fructose corn syrup.
Not healthy.
Fair enough. 1-800-552-8502. If you want to get in the discussion, we have Libby Burkhalter and we have Julie Hartley, who are in the studio with us, talking about diet. They're talking about nutrition. They're talking about exercise. We actually haven't touched on exercise very much, and I'd really like to get into that a little bit. We've been a lot on food, and I think we'll come back to food. We're going to circle back around it. But talk to me a little bit about exercise. I think when people are thinking of starting some kind of, first of all, we're heading into the holidays. Everyone starts exercising on January 1st. That's how the advertising works. I mean, should people even be getting into exercise right now? It's a little
sure,
early, right?
There's never a bad time to exercise or incorporate movement into your day. And a lot of times, especially this time of year, people kind of throw in the towel and like, oh, I don't have time. I got this and that. And they replace their normal workout with a party. And then, you know, before they know it, they fallen out of their normal routine. And so my suggestion is, when things get really hectic during the holiday season, is to still keep that exercise program going, but you could shorten it. So instead of an hour workout, cut it in half, do 30 minutes. Or you could split that 30-minute workout into 10-minute increments, maybe 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at night. Or wherever you're working, take the stairs. Don't take the elevator. There's so many ways to add steps and get movement in your day so that you'll land January 1st not completely starting over, but that you're still keeping that routine and it's not as hard to get going again.
Okay. What are some good things to start with? Because people who are out there who are currently doing exercise routines, they probably already got going on.
Sure.
And so much as they're trying, they have an idea. But what about people who are getting started? What's a good place to start?
Well, the easiest thing is walking, because it's free. You can do it anywhere. And if the weather's bad, you can go to the mall and go walking. You can always find a place to go walking. So and it's great cardiovascular exercise. If you're just getting started, you don't have any physical limitations that would prevent you from doing something like that, that's a great place to start. Pilates and yoga are gentle, more gentle, low impact type of workouts, mm-hmm. if you need something like that. Developing core strength is so important. It's the foundation of all movement. So incorporating some type of core strengthening exercise, where I teach Pilates, so I think it's very important.
What is core strength?
Core strength is your trunk of your body. All right. So okay. It's not just your abdominals. A lot of people just think it's your abs.
Yeah, it's what people, I think when you say, oh, I got a tough core, people are like, look at my six pack.
Right, exactly. But actually, we're talking about the whole trunk of your body, your scapula, your shoulder girdle, your back extensors, all the muscles of the trunk are important foundation. So your arms and legs that move everywhere, that you've got to have a strong core to stabilize your body. So, you know, when you're looking at doing exercises, doing exercises that incorporate core strength, like TRX training is a suspension training program that incorporates great core strength in almost all of the exercises that are utilized in that program.
Okay.
So there's so many options. There's classes people can join in. There's obviously group exercise, personal training. There's boutique studios. There's like a little bit of online workouts or pop-up. There's tons of online options, so you can work out at home, get a quick workout in before you leave the house for work. So you've got lots of options.
Do you have any thoughts on someone starting out cardio versus maybe weight training versus maybe flexibility? Maybe, I mean, what are your thoughts? I feel like there's just, when you're starting out into this workout world,
yeah,
you Google it, right? Everybody out there in the world Googles it. They're like, what should I do? And the first three things that pop up are advertisements. So don't click on those. If you didn't already know that, don't click the first three things. But the fourth thing, you know, that's an article and it's going to be, you know, runner's world. And the first thing it says is you should always be running. And then the next one is like weightlifters.com. And they're like, the only way to be fit is to lift heavy things around. And then there'll be your CrossFit friend who is always talking about CrossFit just because that is how CrossFit works. They only advertise through word of mouth, and they are incredibly good at it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they do, but, you know, I just feel like it's confusing. So walking is a good place to start for sure. Right. But I mean, like, should I be doing cardio? Should I be doing resistance? What should I be doing?
Well, I think a well-rounded program would incorporate a little bit of all of the components of a good fitness program. So you're touching on cardiovascular fitness, strength training, flexibility, mobility. And the reason is you can do a workout that's 30 minutes that would have all of those components in it. So you don't have to pick. You could get a little bit of everything in one workout. It depends on a person's individual goals and what they want from their exercise program. If it's just general health and well-being, mm-hmm. then a program that addresses all of those components of physical fitness is probably the best and easiest and most efficient thing to do.
Okay. But women shouldn't lift because they'll get bulky, right?
No, that's a myth. So we just don't have the testosterone to build bulky muscle. If you see a woman that's got humongous muscles, they're probably supplementing with something that's not very healthy.
Okay. Because I feel like you hear that all the time, too. Women will say, well, I'm not going to the gym. I'm going to run, and I'll do, you know, bar. So I see these words, bar, mm-hmm. and I think that's a thing.
It's not a drinking bar.
I know. It's like, I'm going to the bar, and you're like, oh, that sounds fun. And then they're like, no, I've got to put on my workout clothes. And you're like, oh,
the latest health trend.
I must have missed this one. But yeah, you know, you see this, and I feel like, at least among women, because I feel like men are not averse to cardio. I feel like men can be averse to things like yoga. This is a gross generalization. Clearly, there are many men who enjoy yoga. But I feel like if we're just completely stereotyping, men tend to trend towards things like cardio and weightlifting. And women tend to trend towards things like cardio and like flexibility and like core strength kind of things, but they don't lift. And I feel like that's because they consider them, they're like, I don't want to get bulky. I don't want to be a big
person. Well, I think a lot of people are misinformed, but strength training is vital for women's health, for prevention of osteoporosis. We need strong muscles to support our body and our system. And we stay looking healthier and fitter if we are strength training. Our bodies will perform better and be able to do daily tasks easier as we age. So it's a vital component in exercise for me.
What do you do about, have you ever been in a place where you're exercising, you're like, I'm doing great, and then you just sort of get bored and tired of it, and you're like, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and then 2 months later you look back and you're like, oh, I can't remember the last time I went to the gym or put on my running shoes. What do you do about that? I think that's relatively universal. Maybe not. Y'all are incredibly healthy, and I recognize that you are more dedicated than I am, but to those of us that suffer from this, what would you say?
Oh, variety is the spice of life. I mean, like, mix it up, baby. Like, I do something different every day. So I teach classes regularly, but I do maybe Pilates one day. I do cardiovascular training one day. I might do a HIIT training workout one day. I might teach a TRX class, a spin class. I, you know, mix it up so that I'm not doing the same thing over and over. One of the things I really see people make a mistake in their routine is I'll watch people come into the gym. It's like the same church pew they sit at every Sunday. They get on the same piece of equipment every time, and they do the same routine, and they wonder why they're not getting any results. So they have to challenge their body in new ways, whether it's increasing the intensity, the duration, the number of reps. There's so many variables that we can adjust and change an exercise routine that will get them the results they want, but they have to know how to do that or ask for help to change things up. And plus, I would get bored too. And if you see somebody reading a novel on the treadmill, they're probably not getting their heart rate up very high in order to make the changes that they need.
And, you know, just like Libby said, variety is so important with our exercise, you know, too. But we also see that, you know, with their diet, too. I have people change it up all the time. In fact, I'm really a big proponent of eating what I call seasonally. So, you know, right now in our grocery store, we're, you know, it's cold and it's, you know, getting to be, you know, almost December and January. But you could still go in there and get watermelon, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, just because things are flown in and they're not growing grown here seasonally. But we shouldn't really be eating watermelon in the cold months. You know, we need to be eating what's grown, you know, like, I keep thinking we've said sweet potatoes like 15 times, but right. You know, just because it's just
tonight's episode brought to you by the Sweet Potato Farmers of America. We'd like to thank them for their
generous
donation.
But we need to be eating more root vegetables or things that, you know, are, you know, appropriate for the fall. And so just like, you know, I also teach group exercise classes too, or, you know, in exercise. And so I have people change up their diets and change up their exercise according to the seasons.
That's
when it's,
great.
You know, nice outside, do, you know, go outside. Absolutely. I'm a huge proponent of sunlight. You know, we could do a whole show on sunlight and circadian rhythms and that type of thing. But, you know, don't get bored with either your diet or exercise. Constantly be changing it up, you know, with both.
I think that one of the things people struggle with, maybe I'm wrong. You can call in 1-800-552-8502. 1-800-552-8502. I don't actually think you have to push the 1. I think you can just do 800-552-8502. I think one thing that people struggle with is kind of like you said, you need to have some variety. However, this requires a little bit of planning, and this requires maybe a little bit of extra thought. It is incredibly easy to swing through McDonald's. It is not as easy to say, what are some things I can do with fun seasonal vegetables? Do you have any advice for any way to make it easier, any way to make it a little simpler on yourself? Because right now, it's convenient. Panda Express takes, well, sure. Actually, Panda Express takes like 45 minutes. Well, but, you know, it's still available without much thought.
And here's the thing, too. Most people, if you were to ask your callers right now, probably wouldn't know what is, you know, spring seasonal vegetables. Because,
right.
Again, we can get them all, you know, all season long. And so there's a great book by a doctor named Dr. John Duyard. It's called The Season Diet, Three mm-hmm. Season Diet. And so that's a great place to start. He also, when you go to his website, which is lifespa.com, he puts out a list of seasonal foods every, you know, so every change of the season.
Awesome.
He puts out a different list of, you know, things like pomegranates, you know, are great and, you know, what our body needs, you know, during this time. And there's be different kinds of recipes. And
so he does include recipes with it?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So, and then, you know, whether you're getting the food and you think, okay, asparagus is great for the spring, let me Pinterest asparagus recipes and see what else, you know, other different ways I can incorporate that
sure.
into. So getting those lists, and it just makes food fun, and again, it gets you out of your rut, and then it gets your body out of your rut. Just like your body adapts to the same old exercise, it starts adapting to the same old foods, because while asparagus is good, it's not as great as sweet potatoes, and so, or sweet potatoes are, you know, don't have the same thing as celery, and celery doesn't have the same thing as mushrooms, and so it's so important that we get a, you know, a great variety of foods. We mentioned broccoli, and you said we could, you know, probably eat, you know, our weight in broccoli, which is, you know, is possible, but you still would be missing out what cauliflower had. So, you know, it's so, so very important not to just get quality of food. We start
right.
there and then start rotating and you know, start filtering in lots of different varieties. And, you know, people, their taste buds adjust too. And they're like, well, I don't like cauliflower. You might not have had it in, you know, mashed potatoes.
Sure.
Or, you know, just changing it up.
And if you don't like cauliflower, you should probably have sweet potato.
That's exactly
right.
Like.
Again, tonight's episode brought to you by the Sweet Potato Farmers of America. Sweet potato, good
sweet
for your
potato.
Health.
Speaking of cauliflower, you know, when you want to have some swap out some healthy recipes for Thanksgiving mm-hmm. that's coming up, well, like Julie said, you can make mashed cauliflower potatoes and instead of regular whipped potatoes. And I tell you what, you would not always know the difference because they
truly.
Really are delicious. But there's also super healthy sweet potato recipes that you can do for Thanksgiving instead
of
the marshmallow brown sugar recipe that's loaded.
Right. Sweet potato by itself.
Yes. Yeah. Just or just, I roast a lot of vegetables. I love to roast vegetables. They bring out the flavor. There's lots of different ways to do your vegetables. Mm-hmm. And so get creative and try something new. I always try to try one new recipe each holiday so I can add something new to my repertoire. So maybe do something you haven't done before.
That's a great idea.
That is a great idea. We've actually got a caller. We've got Betsy from Marshall, Texas. Betsy, you are on Health Matters. What can we do for you?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm a vegan. I've been a vegan for 10 years. Was a vegetarian before that. And I have a question about frozen veggies and also about microwaving. Are frozen veggies as good as fresh vegetables?
Yes, Betsy. Really, any vegetable, no matter how you get it in your body, is going to be great. So we do have good, better, and best. So again, if we're having drive-through Panda Express, having canned vegetables would still probably be a step in the right direction. However, I do recommend fresh and frozen are the better and best. So frozen vegetables can certainly be healthy. I try to get them without extra sauces or anything extra butter. Just make sure it just says just plain vegetables. And believe it or not, Walmart, of all places, is one of the biggest purveyors of now organic foods. So, even things that we thought used to be, something that we would have to go to a health food store to get, like frozen organic broccoli or frozen organic mixed vegetables, some of the healthiest things that we can keep in our freezer, less than, $2, and certainly would increase our health. And a lot of times people prefer that, especially this time of the year, this season, when we don't have as much access to, to fresh. To keep those things handy in the freezer is absolutely okay. But even if you had canned too, I keep a few, things that are canned as well. Rinsing them real well helps to rinse off a lot of the sodium. So again, I never want to discourage anybody from starting, at any point wherever they are. So if it is, a step in the right direction from processed food to canned beans, excellent. But let's keep going forward, always can keep going forward and making better selections, but fresh and frozen are the two best.
Yes, ma'am. And then I've read a new cookbook, which is wonderful. It's about Indian cuisine and eating for your dashas, like your body type.
Right, Ayurveda. Yes.
Yes, I was going to ask you how to pronounce that. It's a wonderful book.
Don't ask me how to spell it. I can pronounce it.
And she says in her book that she does not use the microwave, and she thinks it kills nutrients. And I had heard that before, but I just want to know if that's true or not.
Yes, I'm not a big fan of the microwave, and I don't use it personally myself, very much at all. I would not say never, but really not to microwave my foods. It can damage some of the nutrients, but again, it's not to say to not add vegetables. I want to encourage people to add them any way they can, and if that is popping them in the microwave, you are definitely making a step in the right direction, especially if you had been eating no vegetables. Vegetables or other processed foods. So I never want to discourage anybody to start eating vegetables any way they can get them in. But later on, it could be where you get into a routine, you know how to steam them or cook them, and you can do it that fast. You might want to, get away from the microwave. So it's, again, it's that good, better, and best process.
Well, Betsy, thank you so much for calling in. We have appreciated having you on the air and have enjoyed, you brought up some good topics for us. Now, with the music, again, means that I'm going to ask you another, which is worse, which is a game that I think I'm going to start playing regularly. I think this is kind of fun.
Potatoes, that's my answer.
Sweet potatoes, you can't say sweet potatoes are worse. They've sponsored tonight's episode. Sweet potatoes, good for your health. So I've got a couple of questions. I'm trying to decide. I think this is what we're going to go. So which is worse? Drinking to excess with beer or wine, or drinking excess amounts of liquor? Which is worse? Again, we're not saying either of these is good. We're not, advocating this. We're saying if you're picking, which is worse?
Hard liquor or beer or wine?
Yes.
I'd say hard liquor.
Worse from a nutritional standpoint. We're talking nutritional standpoint. We're not talking about from a social standpoint. Okay. I don't know what anyone's dancing skills are like on tequila versus beer.
Vote.
Okay, so we've got one for hard liquor.
I would probably say wine, hard liquor, too, but sometimes wine just tends to be more sugary, can be more sugary. Mm. Some too.
She's gone back to the sugars. I'd like to point out that she didn't like...
She kind of flipped on me.
Last time she was all about the sugars, and this time, no. You did. You said they were fine despite the sugars, and this time you're like, nay, stay away from the sugars.
I'm just saying, it's, again, neither one of them is better, and when I always tell you when it comes to alcohol, really, you know, alcohol can have a place in a healthy diet. I'm not a, you know, a proponent of saying you have to abstain from all alcohol, but it is certainly about volume. And I always want to tell people that it's a, you know, a glass of wine, not a bottle of wine.
Sure.
It's a, you know, maybe a shot of tequila, not a bottle of tequila. But, you know, sometimes a lot of the other drinks, you know, tend to be sugary and really full of dyes and different things like that. So,
okay. All right. Now we had another vote in the other direction. So what was it?
Oh, well, I chose hard liquor. I mean, there are some antioxidants properties in some of the red wines. So
it's basically a health food.
That's kind of why I didn't go there.
Mediterranean diet.
Yeah.
That's right. The Mediterraneans are doing great and they have a lot of wine.
But like Julie said, moderation is definitely important in volume of alcohol. And so I think there's a place for it if you're not going crazy and just, you know, a lot of times when you're mixing drinks, hard liquor, you want to use something that's not a sugary fill-in. You know, a lot of people mix something with a diet soda, which that's not good, or they'll mix it with, you know, say orange juice, which is loaded with sugar.
Sure.
Other drinks, I guess soda and all kinds of things
so
like
really
that.
So really you should just drink your liquor straight is what I'm being told.
Yeah, I kind of
red wine
so.
Or straight liquor. Those are the two options.
Actually, you know, one of the things I recommend for people, like if they're having, you know, going to the bar, maybe some sparkling water or lemon. And then this is something else, too, that's actually helps with digestion, especially if you're drinking before a meal.
Mm-hmm.
It's called bitters, and most all bars will have them. They use it to make different drinks, but it actually stimulates digestion. And so, when you're drinking before a meal, it can actually help you pre-digest, you know, or digest your food even better.
So you get a glass of bitters or you just get an old fashioned?
Yeah, you can get get vodka helps, you know, goes through the body a little cleaner sometimes.
Okay.
So with a little shot of bitters, some sparkling water, a little lemon, and that way you can still enjoy, a glass and be festive. And the other thing I always like to say about alcohol is one of the issues, especially when the Mediterranean diet comes up, because I get that a lot. It's the Mediterranean diet,
sure.
But they're home drinking a bottle of wine by themselves. And part of
don't do that in the Mediterranean?
They do not. They actually, one of the benefits is the community. They actually come together and drink as a community, maybe a happy hour at 5.
Right.
And that really changes the way your body processes it as well, too. So red wine, it's not just the benefits of necessarily just red wine. It's how you drink it, you know, as well, too.
Nearby other people.
Yes.
One thing I would like to suggest is I tell some of my clients that tend to be in a habit. It's not so much that they have to have it, but it's just a habit that they come home and have to have a glass of wine and maybe two, and then sometimes it leads to three, and then they wonder why they end up with a few extra pounds and they can't figure it out. So I tell them, I said, well, you know, pick and choose when you're going to have your wine or your cocktail. And then the other days, why not fix yourself a nice mocktail? So get you a pretty glass, put some sparkling water in there, put a lemon slice or a lime, and then enjoy the conversation with someone. Take your focus off of the alcohol or the food and enjoy a bubble bath, read a book, go for a walk, do something different than focusing on what you were drinking.
And when you add alcohol, especially before, you know, the meal, alcohol and bread makes you crave more food, and especially in the form of carbohydrates. So really, alcohol and bread, especially before a meal, you'll tend to eat more volume and calories
too. You're kind of setting yourself up for failure.
Right.
There.
So be careful with that, especially around the holidays.
Oh, I like it. Okay. Now, I've got a couple like bullet points that I'm supposed to talk about, and we've hit a lot of them sort of unintentionally. But one of these is, it says love and support. And to me, I don't know what that means. It's kind of what does that mean?
Well, especially as it relates to the holidays, one of the things that, you know, we talk about a lot, of course, heart disease and cancer and those kinds of things. But one thing that's really at epidemic proportions is depression and disconnection and loneliness. And we know that the research tells us that people that are depressed and disconnected and don't have community support are 3 to 10 times more likely to die from all-cause mortality. And with our program in our lifestyle medicine, that's one of the key components is we have groups support. So we know that even if you were to come see me one-on-one or see Libby one-on-one, it actually is more beneficial if we were to do in groups. We do group classes or group exercises. It's the power is in the group and love and support. And I would love to see families get back to like the art of cooking, you know, where we're cooking in the kitchen and we're talking and we're being festive and, you know, things like that. Our digestion is better. Our the way that we process meals are better. We don't eat as fast. So those kinds of things just has enormous health benefits. And I think it's one of the most powerful things we can do, but one of the least utilized, you know, is community and love and support.
That's such a good point. And one of the things that I do with my coach training that I do online is provide support and accountability for groups of women. And it's change their lives. People are looking for connection. Mm-hmm. They are looking for support, accountability to make these lifestyle changes because it's not always easy to do things by ourselves. And when we have each other to lean on or give suggestions, coaching, cheering each other on, it really makes a huge difference and people are more successful.
Trying to do anything in isolation is very challenging. And I think that a lot of these things, kind of what we're talking about, especially these big lifestyle changes, are almost impossible when you do it by yourself, especially if you're the kind of person who's in a family. Like we're talking about the diet and nutrition, even exercise. If you're in a family and you're the only one that wants to try to eat healthy, you're like, you know what? I'm going to change my eating habits. And you're the one sitting there eating a sweet potato while everyone else is having McDonald's. Again, sweet potato sponsor of tonight's show. Then I think that makes it much more challenging and you're much more likely to fail just because you don't have, like you said, you don't have that support structure around you. And I think the same thing goes for exercise. I've seen that in my own life, trying to get into an exercise program and failing, but then trying to get into an exercise program with an accountability group around me, with a group of guys that were all like, hey, we're going to do this together. And it working out only because when I didn't want to go, I knew that I was going to be there. I knew these other guys were going to be there. I guess I better go. And then when they didn't want to go, they knew the same thing about me. They're like, well, he's going to be there. I guess I better show up and do the work.
Exactly.
And it makes a huge difference as far as even your attitude in the process, because you're not, you know, you don't want to say that this is
suffering, you're all in it together.
Right.
You know, it's nice to have the camaraderie and the support, and it makes it a lot more fun too.
100%. Now, we've actually got a caller. We've got another caller on the line, probably the last one we'll get to tonight, but we've got Lisa from Lufkin, who I believe was on the line earlier. Lisa, is this you?
I was on the line earlier.
Well, welcome back to Health Matters.
Hey,
we are glad to have you. We have not brought up Chico Sticks again, but, you know, we're still glad to have you.
Thank you. You gave me such a good answer, too. I didn't get a chance to tell you that before, when I was on before. My question, again, next question that I want to ask you, and I have a comment later, too. Don't hang up on me before I tell you my comment. My question is, can you talk to me about keto and, like, who's really right for keto? How do you do, are there different ways to do keto? Is it really what it's cracked up to be? It seems to be the buzzword diet these days. And I wonder if it has to be so meat heavy. And just, can you expand on that whole? And can you talk about the chemistry of it and how it actually helps you?
Sure. Now, I'm gonna give a warning. We've got about 3 minutes here. So keto
so
in three.
Do all the biochemistry of keto in 3 minutes?
Correct.
Okay. No, it really is. Could be a whole show and probably should, because there's so much about it, you know, around it. You know, it does not have to be, you know, very meat heavy. In fact, that's probably one of the worst ways to do keto. It's, you know, that a lot of people are doing it like a modified Atkins diet, and it really should be completely different. And it certainly can have its place in certain areas, but it's still more plant-based, would be you know, more heavily associated with higher healthy fats, but still what we call green keto is typically how I'd like to steer people. So there's certainly a place for it. It's individualized. Mm-hmm. I can certainly coach people in that area, but there is a dark side to keto if you don't know what you're doing. So it's very nuanced, and so we would have to, again, talk about individuality, you know, and see if it was appropriate for you. A lot of people, about, I would give to say 85% of people are doing it wrong. Still a lot of processed food, still a lot of heavy animal products. You know, bacon still is not a health food. I'd love to say it is, but it still needs to be heavy plants, but lower, you know, I'm all about taking out sugars, you know, lowering carbs and starches, you know, to a healthy level.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. You have time for my comment?
Sure.
Go for it.
Okay. My trick If you like a lot of ice cream or sweet, cold things, I eat frozen mango right out of the bag.
Yes, love it.
It is so good. It's just creamy and soft and sweet and fruity, and it's like sherbet, only better. And it's so good.
Yum,
great,
I'm a fan.
Great suggestion.
Now, that, Lisa, thank you so much for calling back in. We appreciate it. I don't want to cut you off. You got anything else?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
Lisa, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your contribution to Health Matters tonight. You know, this has been awesome. Before we go, we've got a minute. I want each of you to throw out one healthy snack that is a great option for people to go with when they are thinking about, like, being healthy. They want to try to curb some of their cravings. What's a healthy snack? Go.
Well, I always try to go for fruits and vegetables first. Veggies first or veggies most. So carrot sticks, celery sticks, jicama. I love jicama. That's
jicama.
Really good. If you've never tried that, it's J-I-C-A-M-A.
A little jicama there. All right.
Try that for something different.
All right.
Always plant foods, fruits and vegetable smoothies. I love to introduce fruits and vegetables for people that are not used to having them in smoothie form. That's just a fun, easy way we can get them in. Lots of volume, too.
Well, that's awesome. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I really appreciate it. Obviously, we've got a lot more to talk about. I have pages we didn't get to, so we'll have to do it again.
It was fun.
Just to let you all know, out in the community, Health Matters is a program for informational purposes only. For all health questions, you should consult a physician or health professional. The views and opinions expressed on Health Matters may not necessarily reflect those of Red River Radio, its staff, or LSUS. This show is available for download from redriverradio.org. Health Matters is a production of Red River Radio. The producer is Renee Moran. Phone assistance has been provided this evening by Wally Derleth and Tim Snell. Support for this program comes from the Knoll Foundation, also from the Community Foundation of North Louisiana. Please join us next Thursday for Health Matters. I'm Dr. Patrick Lavo, and we are signing off for tonight.